everyone, and welcome to the Trade Addicts Podcast, where the first step is admitting you have a problem. Please welcome your hosts for today's session, Dynasty Outhouse and Brian Haar.
Welcome, everybody. I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
This is where you come in, John.
Ah, my bad. I am John Hogue, and I have a trading problem.
Ladies and gentlemen, being friends and co-hosts with Brian has finally paid off. I now have what I can consider a podcast celebrity coming on our show, and wow, we got him through Brian. Ladies and gentlemen, John Hogue at Superflex Dude is...
What?
We'll call him a celebrity guest. I like it. It makes me feel better about myself and my show, and it probably gives you a bit of an ego boost, right?
Oh, you have no idea. My head barely fits in this little studio right now. I really appreciate that.
Look at that. You got a little studio. I'm sitting at my dining room table, and you have a studio.
Wait,
yeah,
you don't...
That's what I call the bathroom when I'm actually on, you know, when I'm actually doing some podcasting. It turns just into the studio for the however long it takes. So, yeah, there's
flushing
an image for you guys.
Flushing would be very on brand. So if you need to flush, flush away. It fits right in with the outhouse.
Exactly. Yeah, well, I appreciate you guys having me on, man. This is one of my favorite podcasts. And, you know, even without stroking my ego, this is just this is a permanent fixture in my rotation. And it's a lot of fun to be on here with you guys. I'm looking forward to this one.
Yeah, like the Grinch, my heart just grew three sizes. Just call an ambulance. All right. So, John, I'll ask you the same questions I ask everybody else. How long have you been playing fantasy football?
I've been playing fantasy football for this will be my 11th season.
Nice.
And I'll always remember it because season number one was 2007 when Tom Brady threw, you know, an NFL record 50 touchdowns. I drafted him way too early in my redraft leagues and everybody laughed at me. And then I just laid waste to that league.
Nice.
So, yeah. And I've been playing Dynasty for this will be my fifth season.
Cool. All right, wait. You drafted Tom Brady too early. Are you a Patriots fan?
I am not. I am the exact opposite. I'm a Denver Broncos fan, and I was okay drafting Tom Brady because my Broncos essentially own Tom Brady. It's that's what the Patriots do not want you to know, is that Tom Brady cannot beat the Broncos, especially in the playoffs. Done it one time.
All right, good, because we've had our share of Patriots fans on here, and I need to scrub that feeling clean off of me. So
yeah, it's nauseating.
Yeah,
I also have stated that I am gonna start being a low key Broncos fan because I love everything they have done this year for their offense. Draft is just like,
yeah, that it was like they were playing fantasy football,
right?
You know, with their NFL draft. Yeah, that was good stuff.
All right, so I'm going to be a good host and tell everyone that I forgot to put on the show sheet that I ask you questions, so I'm not going to put you on the spot with giving me your best and worst trades, but I will put you on the spot and asking if you have a guiding principle you stand on when you are evaluating or offering your trades.
Oh, man, I've got kind of a lot of them, and to be honest, it leads to me sending some offers that get rejected quite a bit. And it's just because I guess some of my main principles, especially when it comes to Dynasty, is just to follow career arcs of players and keep them matching up, you know. So I don't want, you know, a rookie wide receiver and, you know, a third or fourth year running back. That just does me no good, and it infuriates people. But those two just don't belong on the same roster, and that's something that I'm a little bit stubborn about that. Just because, I mean, their career arcs are they're just going to peak at totally different times, and I just have no use for that.
That makes a lot of sense, and I could absolutely see why it'd be frustrating as hell to deal with you.
Yep.
But I realized we also completely skipped over, why don't you tell everybody who you are, even though they should know who you are already?
Well, I am a writer at DynastyLeagueFootball.com and the host of the Superflex Super Show. And you can follow us on Twitter at Superflex Show. And the podcast really is just that. We focus on the Superflex format, which is easily the fastest growing format in all of fantasy football. And honestly, the only way to play fantasy football. Because it brings the focus back to the quarterback position. So if you're not playing Superflex, you should. And once you do, come listen to us on the Superflex Super Show.
All right. And two things. First of all, when I came into this offseason, Superflex was like a novelty. Like, ooh, let me join another Superflex league because I want another league. And that's fun. And then I joined more and more. And now I have no interest in one quarterback leagues. I am officially ruined. So, yes, that's absolutely true. Oh, yeah. And I do listen to your show. And speaking of listening to your show, and this is going to tie into moving us into the news, if you guys have listened to their most recent episode, Eric Ebron is a rising star in one third of their minds.
Ugh, yeah.
And not Eric Ebron doesn't matter. You speak for a whole that is your show. Yeah. Right now, and Eric Ebron has been impressive in OTAs, of course that means everything, and Eric Ebron is the next Zach Ertz.
That would be absolutely horrible if I had to adopt every single take that comes rolling out from under that ridiculous beard of Travis Rasmussen. Now, he's one of my best friends and an amazing co-host, but yeah, he's way too high on Eric Ebron. And it sounds like the news is too, because here's the reality, guys. Everybody is impressive in OTAs. The defensive playbooks have not been put in yet. Those defensive players are basically just cardboard cutouts. If you can't look good in OTAs, you're not going to make the roster.
Absolutely. No, I agree with that 100%. Now, I do lean a little bit on Ebron with Travis. We've talked on the show in the past here about Ebron and about him possibly, I don't know about being the next Zach Ertz, but about at least having the opportunity to flourish in a new offensive system. Detroit, for some reason, just it didn't click with him. But you're exactly right, John. I mean, this time of year, I mean, do you really hear much negative stuff out of any camp? You really don't. So that's a great point. And we'll see what happens here with Ebron. I know Outhouse is pretty high on him, so we'll see how all this shakes out.
Impressively, it'll shake out. All right. I'm going to let Brian speak about the next two bits of news because he put them on the sheet.
Yeah, so some interesting news out there regarding Terrell Owens. T.O. is running super fast, apparently. I believe Julio Jones and another gentleman clocked him running 4.43 and 4.44 40s. And this is online, so, you know, you have to believe it.
I believe on the internet, it's real.
And I believe this news was in, like, the New York Daily something rather paper, so, you know, it's got to be true. But so that was the first bit of news. So, I don't know, maybe T.O. is making a comeback.
He probably could. Like, we always, you know, joke about Josh Gordon's abs or Lev Bell's physique. T.O. is like the original, what the hell is that man made of?
Right.
That was him doing sit-ups on his driveway, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that leads into the second bit of news. Julio Jones missed minicamp and apparently is working out with T.O., obviously, if he's recording videos of T.O. running the 40. And apparently the Atlanta Falcons are worried about this friendship. So what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I'll be worried if my leading wide receiver is befriending one of the best wide receivers in history. Yeah, that's bothersome.
Yeah, exactly. That was kind of my thought. I mean, this seems like a blessing, you know, for the Atlanta Falcons. Julio Jones has a complete lack of personality, and with it comes a complete lack of productivity, especially in the red zone, especially in the end zone. I mean, maybe Terrell Owens rubbing off on him would actually be, you know, somewhat of a good thing, even if it means some added diva mentality. I mean, if that's what gets you in the end zone, hey, I'll take it all day from Julio Jones.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think, you know, the thing that's interesting about Atlanta not liking this per se is, I mean, T.O. was never really in trouble. I mean, yeah, he was dramatic. Yeah, the diva, absolutely. But he produced on the field always. And he wasn't a guy that got in trouble. So I'm not sure what exactly they're worried about. Maybe they're worried because they're going to have to pay Julio Jones a lot of money here to keep him happy and keep him in town long term. But we'll see what happens with all that. But I don't know. You know, this to me was just kind of laughable. I'm with you guys on this one. So
yeah, no, it's definitely just something fun to bring up because, like you said, there's no real news going on short of the next person who's going to tear their ACL pretty soon, I'm sure. Which, again, I make that joke, and I feel like the next person that tears their ACL, it's going to be my fault.
Well, just so, hopefully it's somebody that you own. So
not someone I – hopefully it's not somebody I own.
Oh. Okay.
You got that wrong again.
Oh, dang it. Every time.
All right, so again, no real news to really talk about, so we're going to move on. Our last set of episodes was about buy lows and sell highs, so we're going to sort of flip that around and talk about sell lows and buy highs. Now, the concept behind this is more, hey, this guy's value's kind of in the tank, and I better get rid of him now before it's zero. And then buy high is where, man, this guy's going to cost an arm and a leg to get, but I think it's going to be an arm and two legs by the end of the season. So I'm going to pay all this now because it's going to be worth it productivity or value-wise later. So I know that's not necessarily the way you hear everybody talking about doing good business is buying low and selling high. Yeah. But clearly, if everybody operated the exact same way, no one would ever get anything done. So we're going to walk you through same format. We'll go by position, give you a sell low and a buy high, and talk a little bit about each. And since we're polite on our show, we're going to let John go first with his sell low quarterback.
Nice. I love this concept, by the way. So I'm going to sell low on Sam Bradford. He just signed a free agent contract with Arizona, and presumably to be the starter. And then Josh Rosen falls in the draft to Arizona. And to me, Josh Rosen is the most polished, the most pro-ready of all the rookie quarterbacks. And, man, so first of all, I can't imagine Sam Bradford staying healthy long enough to hang on to that job anyways. But, I mean, regardless of health, I think Josh Rosen is about to beat him out. I think Josh Rosen is your week one starter. So,
that's bold.
Yeah. So to me, you know, while everybody is still convinced that they're getting a starting quarterback with Sam Bradford, sell him now because, yeah, I mean, it's I know it's a sizzle take for sure, but I think that that Josh Rosen easily has the best chance of all the rookie quarterbacks. And I mean, it always happens. One of these rookie quarterbacks is going to start week one. And I think Josh Rosen is a guy who's ready to do it.
Yeah, you're talking to two Rosen fans and two guys who have often joked about Sam Bradford tearing his hamstring jogging onto the field.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think we've ever said week one starter, but I think we've joked by week three or the third quarter of the first game, either or.
Oh, yeah.
So let's play our game of what would you accept as your sell low? So we're talking super flex because, again, like you said, it's the right way to play. But there's also you're not selling or buying quarterbacks in a one quarterback league. So let's say you have Sam Bradford on your team. It's before your 2018 rookie draft. When someone's on the clock with what pick are you going to send Sam Bradford to try and get?
I mean, I think that you should be able to get a minimum a second round pick for him, you know, just because, again, the thought is that he's a starting NFL quarterback, even though I'm saying I don't think that he is anymore. But that's so that's probably, you know, the range where you should be able to get him. You know, people are going to be looking at the board and seeing Mason Rudolph and Kyle Laletta and Danny Etling are kind of, you know, some of the guys left and say, you know, I could either wait however long it takes for these guys to get a, you know, an opportunity in their current offense, or I could go with Sam Bradford, who, you know, is going to start for me right away. So, yeah, I mean, I think I'd target a second rounder with him, which, you know, to me, that's still pretty low in all honesty. But I think it's going to absolutely plummet, you know, once Josh Rosen takes that job.
Exactly, because it's so weird. I can think of nothing else to call it but luck this man has had signing contracts. You know, he's done next to nothing in the NFL but keeps making millions upon millions of dollars. So I don't know if you even see him signing a bridge quarterback deal when he eventually gets dropped from the Cardinals, because I think they paid him a decent amount of money anyway. All right, so moving on. Brian, I disagree with your sell low, but tell us about it anyway.
Yeah, my sell low is Andy Dalton. And for me, it's not that Dalton isn't a serviceable NFL quarterback. It's just that I don't believe he's going to be in Cincinnati long term. They can cut him after this season with zero dead money, and they're paying him a ton of money. I mean, I believe he's on the books for $16 million next year. In the grand scheme of quarterbacks, I guess that's not awful, but it's still hefty. So for me, Dalton's a guy that I'm just not super thrilled with him. He hasn't, serviceable, yes, but he's just not a guy that's ever going to increase his value, in my opinion. So, you know, while he still has some value, I'm getting out.
Yes, I mean, that kind of makes sense. I just have a little bit of faith that with a solid, well, more solid offensive line and hopefully a healthy A.J. Green and John Ross and Joe Mixon, that, I mean, the last time he had a good line and those weapons, he was a top 10 quarterback at least once. And I think there's a chance of that coming back. But, yeah, I definitely don't know if Cincinnati will want to pay him starting quarterback money, but I think he'll start somewhere. What are your feelings on Dalton, John?
Yeah, I think I'm with you. It seems like he's probably going to settle into kind of a bridge type of role here before long. This might be the end of the road in Cincinnati. So, and I mean, you know, kind of to Brian's point, it's been a while since we've seen anything, and all that they've really done, you know, the weapons keep getting older, the offensive line keeps getting worse, and the coaching essentially stays the same. I mean, they moved on from Ken Zampezi last year, but beyond, I mean, and Bill Lazor, I believe, took over as the offensive coordinator, and they still just were completely inept. So, yeah, you're kind of looking at the last gasp of the Andy Dalton as a, you know, franchise quarterback, quote unquote, era.
Now, can you part with Dalton for a high two, or do you need to see that one in front?
Me personally, I could do it for a high two.
All right. So this year you would take Christian Kirk over Andy Dalton.
Absolutely. You picked the wrong guy there.
Oh, right. Yeah. But he's just always the first high two that comes to my mind.
Yeah.
Well, here's
the other thing, and I'm probably going to catch a bunch of crap for this, but so a quarterback in this class that is slipping in super flex leagues in the second round is Josh Allen. I would take Josh Allen before I take Dalton.
Catch a lot of crap for that.
in a super flex dynasty league. I mean, if Dalton is the only serviceable quarterback that I have on my team, then I'm in trouble anyways. So what's the point in hanging on to him? You know what I mean? So you're not counting on Dalton to be your QB1, hopefully. I don't know. I'd just rather have – I mean, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that Josh Allen, and don't get me wrong, I'm not endorsing Josh Allen by any means here, but I think it's in the realm of possibility that he can have an Andy Dalton type career. I mean, I can see that happening.
All right, so let's digress for a second. John, how do you feel about Josh Allen?
Well, I mean, he's going to get an opportunity, you know. And in Superflex, sometimes that's what you're looking for is a warm body. He's going to get every opportunity to start. I don't know what he's going to be able to do with it, and especially with a complete lack of weapons, you know, beyond 31-year-old LeSean McCoy, who the spoiler alert, talk a little bit about him later. But, yeah, I mean.
Don't forget the 47-year-old Kelvin Benjamin.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it if they start putting some weapons around him, sure. But, I mean, this it's just kind of been a constant stream basically since Jim Kelly retired, you know, with the exception of a couple years in there with Doug Flutie. It's just been kind of a parade of mediocre quarterbacks with absolutely no one to throw to. And it looks like it's just going to be kind of more of the same for Josh Allen, unfortunately.
Yeah,
bad teams stay bad.
Yeah, and yeah. I definitely agree with that. I mean, I don't want this to be taken as like Brian is endorsing Josh Allen.
I'm not Josh Allen. It's too late. It's done.
Someone's
got to drive that train.
It's out there.
Yeah, not even close. Just I mean, I'm just saying if you're talking about, you know, you're absolutely right, John. I mean, average quarterbacks at best. I mean, Tyrod had a year or two as well that weren't too bad fantasy-wise. You know, but yeah, I mean, since Jim Kelly left, it's been that, and that's what you have to do. You got to go draft a Western Pennsylvania quarterback. I mean, that's where it's at, right? Western PA represents. So anyways, no, for me, though, to me, Andy Dalton is an average quarterback. Yes, he has a few better weapons, I think, than Josh Allen does in Buffalo, if we're comparing the two today. But moving forward, you know, AJ Green is aging. Joe Mixon's there, and I think he's a stud in waiting, personally. I know there's a lot of mixed feelings about Joe Mixon, too, on Twitter and in the Dynasty community. So I think the weaponry around Andy Dalton is – but he's had weapons. I mean, AJ Green's been with Dalton almost his entire career, right? And this is a team that has never won a playoff game. You know, now, that doesn't matter in fantasy. So – you know, and they have put together a few fantasy seasons that have been pretty good, especially Green, obviously. You know, but I don't know, just with the age and with the situations and, you know, I just, to me, Dalton's average. I think Josh Allen can potentially be average. So I would probably take the youth and just run away with it. You know, again, I'm not endorsing him. I'm just saying, if you're talking about Dalton's value in terms of picks, I would probably trade him for an early second, which is where Josh Allen is typically landing in drafts, in early or mid seconds, you know, depending on the draft. So that's just why I brought that up.
Well, we've digressed way too far, but I was just interested. My sell low is Eli Manning. It's because he's old and not great. I mean, I don't know if there's much more. He has a starting job. He has Odell Beckham and Evan Engram and your Bay, Baquan. He has all the weapons. He doesn't need to be great, but I don't care what Dave Gettleman says. He doesn't have many years left. I think you can still get a decent pick out of someone who is contending and needs that solid quarterback too. I might settle for just about anything with a one in front of it. So, I mean, I don't know. I would never be thrilled to own Eli Manning. And I still think you can get something for him. And while I don't know if Davis Webb or Kyle Uletta are the answer, I just, even if Eli is still the quarterback, if he gets much worse, then I don't think you'll want to start him.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that for the most part. I mean, I am intrigued a little bit this season, just because I want to see how the new weapons in that offense, you know, the offensive line, I think, is going to be improved. I don't think it can get a lot worse than it was. you know, and they drafted Hernandez, I believe, in the second
The lineman.
Right, in the second round. So hopefully that'll help some. Obviously, Saquon Barkley, I mean, my feelings on this show are I'm pretty out there as far as Barkley goes. So, you know, I think he's a tremendous weapon. And, you know, I think that will help Eli. You know, one of the things that happens when Eli's under pressure, he kind of gets the happy feet and just chucks, right? Mm-hmm. And having Saquon Barkley, number one, he's a good pass blocker. And number two, you know, having him in the short to medium passing game as another weapon, you know, there's not going to be linebackers in this league that can cover that guy, or not many of them. So for me, you know, I think adding Barkley to that offense will help Eli when he's under pressure. You know, and the other thing that's going to be interesting to see is if he still, you know, can he accurately throw the ball to Odell Beckham when, you know, there's so many weapons on this offense now, not just Barkley and Beckham, but Ingram, Shepard on the other side. So, I mean, they have a lot of offensive weapons in New York. It'll be interesting to see how defenses try to defend all those weapons. You know, are they going to put a safety in the box to stop Saquon or to guard him when he goes out on routes? If they do that, I mean, Beckham is like the best in the business. So he's going to be open. And if Manning can put it somewhere close, as we've seen for a few years now, Beckham's probably going to catch the ball. So, you know, I'm intrigued for the short term. Long term, obviously, you know, I think Manning's time is about up. But short term, you know, if I'm really a contender, yeah, I think he's a guy that I would look to acquire cheaply. So for your point, you know, I think a sell low opportunity to get something out of him while he's still in the league, and you know, you might find an owner like me thinking that way. You know, I think it's a great candidate for a sell low.
Any strong feelings, John?
I hadn't really thought too much about this, but I mean, I think that you make some really good points, Outhouse. But I think that the bigger thing that's coming up for me hearing this is, you know, do we really think that Eli Manning can support all of those weapons? I mean, Odell Beckham is you know, in most formats, number one overall. He's definitely, you know, wide receiver one or wide receiver 1B to Hopkins in most cases. Evan Ingram, we're considering him a top four, top five tight end. Barkley is already a top five running back. Even Sterling Shepard going as a, you know, a wide receiver 3. Can Eli Manning actually support all that? Maybe we need to recalibrate our thoughts just kind of overall on what the New York Giants offense is going to be.
Well, the problem is their defense is still so terrible that they'll have to keep their offense on the field. So
yeah,
hopefully volume will drive it.
Yeah. Yeah. And hopefully he can actually be productive and be efficient and keep the ball moving, you know? Or otherwise, I mean, this team's going to be horrible otherwise. So.
Yeah, that's a good point, John. You know, when thinking about those other weapons, the other offensive weapons there, not Eli, but the skill position guys, that's a good point. I mean, there's a lot of guys to support in that offense. You know, and will he be able to support them all? I don't know. That's a great question. The good news is for Eli's value, I think that helps him. You know, it doesn't matter who he's supporting if you own him. I don't care if he's supporting, you know, if I'm an Eli owner, I don't care if he's supporting Saquon. He better support Saquon. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't care if he's supporting Saquon or if he's supporting Ingram or if he's supporting OBJ. You know, he's whoever he's throwing the ball to, having that many weapons should help him. But again, that's a great point about the other weapons in that offense, you know. Someone is going to not be the man in that offense. And there's a lot of alpha dogs at mm-hmm. their position, at their respective positions in that offense. So that's definitely one to watch this year to see how New York kind of spreads the ball around and who ends up really coming out of there as the fantasy stud that we think they're going to be.
All right, but that's not what we're talking about right now. We're talking about quarterbacks, and that's all our sells. So let's move on to our buys. John, tell us about your buy high.
Mine is Jimmy Garoppolo. And right now his ADP in Superflex 2QB is quarterback number 6, which
wow, that is high.
That's pretty high for a guy who's played what, 6 games? I mean, he's never lost one and he always looks sharp, but he was also throwing
very sharp looking guy.
Very,
Jimmy GQ.
That's a good looking man right there for sure. Yeah. And I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of productivity necessarily for us to really justify that ADP, that high ADP. But I mean, I think that Kyle Shanahan is just, if he's not the best in the business, guys, he's close to it as far as being able to put all of the players around, you know, around him in a position to succeed. He turned Matt Ryan into a 40-some touchdown passer, league MVP, made it to the Super Bowl. And Matt Ryan is not any of those things. But Kyle Shanahan can, you know, if you've got half a brain and half an arm, he's going to turn you into that. And I think that what he's going to be able to do with Jimmy Garoppolo is actually going to exceed our expectations, even though they're right now really high.
Yeah, I I'm trying to think of like what the offers I've thrown out that involved me trying to get Jimmy GQ off of people and how I was basically laughed at because he's going to be the new QB1 in like these crazy people's minds, even though, like you said, he hasn't really done that much. And I think people are rose-colored glassesing what he's done. I just made that a word, so
it works.
Yeah, because I mean, they're just like, yeah, he didn't throw a lot of touchdowns, we get it, but he threw a lot of yards, but he also threw a decent amount of interceptions. That seems to just escape people's minds. But what do you think it takes right now to even get Jimmy Garoppolo? Are we talking still just one first?
Nope.
Yeah, I don't, especially not in a super flex. I think you're probably looking at two first round picks.
Yeah.
You know, and
how high does one of them have to be, do you think?
Mid for me.
Yeah.
At least, right?
Yeah, at least probably two of those. You know, you kind of have to get something like a, you'd almost have to get like a Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen combo in order to, you know, to make up the value that people have in their mind of Jimmy Garoppolo. And
And you think it's worth to pay that?
I think it probably is. Yeah, to be totally honest. And I love both of those rookies. And like I said, I think Josh Rosen starts from day one. But we have no idea what those guys are going to be. We haven't seen a lot of Jimmy G, but we've seen enough to know that he's got all the tools. So, yeah, I mean, I think that you mitigate some risk by combining those guys into that one quarterback.
Yeah, and for me, I think the thing with Garoppolo, you know, I mean, the thing that's so impressive to me is that offense prior to his insertion into it was futile. I mean, it was awful, awful. Mm-hmm. They were terrible. I mean, and for multiple years, right? I mean, at the end of Cap's thing, and then C.J. Beathard, I think, was in there or something. I mean, it was wild in San Francisco. They were awful. The offense was terrible. They insert him and they win how many games in a row? I don't know how many it was. Seven, something like that. They were a different offense when Garoppolo took it over. And I think that's what people are so excited about is the potential. If this offense develops, I mean, and now they have more weapons than they had previously. I mean, McKinnon going in there and you know, so for me, you know, I think the excitement around Garoppolo and the reason his value has been driven up to the point where it is just that people look at the 6 or 7 games that he played, started there at the end of the season, and saw how dramatic the change was, you know, and I think to expect them to be even better this season is reasonable with Shanahan, you know, in control of that offense and Garoppolo being, you know, more comfortable with that system and all of that. So, you know, I think that's where the value has come from, and that's why everybody is so hyped about him. So I'm on the train. I would probably pay 2 mid first for him right now and in super flex leagues. And you know, it seems a little crazy. I mean, when I hear myself saying it, but probably would do it. So,
yeah, I think I probably would too now that I hear what you guys are saying out loud. I've always kind of wanted him on one of my teams, but I've been always been too afraid to hit that submit button. Maybe I'll just go and do it now anyway, because at least now I could say you guys told me to.
Nice.
Blame it somebody on else.
There you go. All the victories are me. All the blame's on you guys.
Yes.
Yep. All right, Brian. Yep. This guy was listed as a sell high on our last group of shows. You have him as a buy high. Why are you buying Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, so another guy that only has a very limited sample size in the National Football League. I love Deshaun Watson. I watched the majority of his games in their entirety last season because this guy is so fun to watch play the game and the quarterback position. His pace before he was injured was insane. 4,500 yards, total yards. So around 3,900 passing and 43 passing touchdowns, 614 rushing and 5 rushing touchdowns. So 4,500 total yards and 48 total touchdowns was the pace that he was on before he blew his knee out in practice. That's insane. That's like epic numbers. I mean, we're talking like holy smokes, right? So for me, you know, obviously Watson has a high price tag right now. I've seen him go as high as the third quarterback off the board in some startup drafts.
I've seen higher than that.
So
yeah, same here.
Yeah, so obviously his price tag is steep right now. It's very high. Even if he regresses off of that pace, which is probably reasonable to expect, right? I mean, nobody can. I mean, I just can't imagine someone maintaining that pace. But even if he regresses and he ends up with like around 4,000 total yards and somewhere in the mid 30s of touchdowns, we're talking about a top five quarterback in the league for fantasy points scored. So,
and he's what, 22? So you'll have him for the next 15 years?
Exactly. Now, the injuries do concern me. He's blown out both of his knees. I think the one knee he's blown out multiple times, maybe even. So, you know, obviously that is concerning. And his style of play is a little bit concerning as well. I know we've talked about Russell Wilson in the past and how, you know, luckily to this point, he hasn't been injured too bad, especially with how bad their offensive line is in Seattle. Sorry, buddy. I know that's those are your
points. Keep talking. Just keep going.
But, you know, a similar style of play. His mobility is what makes him so special. He's able to move around and not just get outside of the pocket. Obviously, he's very good doing that, but he's able to move within the pocket while keeping his eyes downfield. And I think that makes him special. He has weapons around him in the backfield. Outside at the receiver position, obviously DeAndre Hopkins is one of the best in the game. Will Fuller's not terrible either, especially at the deep ball. And obviously those two had a connection last season as well in the 7 games that Watson played. So for me, I'm willing to buy him right now. You know, I think Deshaun Watson can be a superstar in this league at the hardest position to play in this league for the next decade if he can stay healthy. That's a legitimate concern. But for me, I think his talent outweighs the risk, in my opinion.
You're going to pay 3 firsts for him? Because I think that's what you got to do now.
I honestly would. I would consider it, yes. I probably would. Now, if they were all early, I would have a lot harder time doing that, obviously. But yeah, I mean, I think this guy can be... I think he can be a top 5 quarterback in the league for the next decade. I really do.
John, thoughts?
Yeah, so I think his ADP right now is quarterback 5. I'm okay with him there. It depends on the league. I've seen him go quarterback 1, you know.
Yeah,
I was in an auction draft where he was the most, not only the most expensive quarterback, but the most expensive player. And that's way too much. I mean, at that point, you're telling me that I have to trade Aaron Rodgers plus to get him. I have to trade Russell Wilson plus to get him. Yeah, that's at that point, he's way, way, way beyond, a realistic value. So he's awfully close right now to, you know, just kind of where he belongs. But I could see buying him high if you end up in a league that's you know, that's realistic about him.
Yeah, I've seen him go on that 1-2 turn around that pick 10 to 15, I think, in at least two of the Trade Addicts leagues. So, I mean, yeah, if there's places where he's going at QB5 and you find people valuing him at QB5, absolutely, go buy that guy right there. And then, but at QB1, at the ADP price, well, startup first round value price, I don't know if I could do that.
Outhouse, I think in Trade Addicts 2, I own him in Trade Addicts 2. And I believe I took him in round, it was like 3 or 4. It was like the end of round 3 or something like that.
Yeah, but that was also the crazy draft where I don't think a quarterback went until like the middle of the second.
But he wasn't. I took Cam Newton before him. And
really?
I did at that time. Yeah, at that time. I mean, we drafted.
I mean, it was like March. I mean, it wasn't that long ago.
That's a long time ago. That's a lifetime ago.
All right. No, yeah. Maybe I am contorting to fit my craziness that Watson, people think that he's the 101 because Twitter's crazy. But yeah, no. If what you guys are saying is true, go out and buy Deshaun Watson, because you're right. The dude's crazy young, crazy good, and will be good for a crazy long time.
Yeah, and I do agree. Yeah. Sorry. I do agree on I mean, if he's going as the quarterback 1 or 2, I think that's a little much. I think that's a little much. But, you know, I can make an argument for that 4-5 range for sure.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah.
All right, so you ruined my awesome transition.
Apologies. Apologies.
Speaking of young, crazy talented, and will be around for a crazy long time, my buy high is Carson Wentz. And honestly, copy-paste from everything Brian just said about Deshaun Watson, and that's how I feel about Carson Wentz. Some people have him as their quarterback 1. You're worried about the knee injury. He has great weapons around him. The offense was awesome. It was good without him there, but it was ridiculous with him there. I mean, I feel like I don't really need to go on all that much with Wentz, because literally it's the same exact thing you just said about Watson. Do either of you guys have much to say about Carson Wentz?
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar for me. Although I like Carson Wentz quite a bit more. I've got him ranked as quarterback 2, you know. So as long as you're asking me for a quarterback other than Aaron Rodgers, I'm willing to pay that, absolutely. But, you know, it all just comes down to how does the league value him? You know, the actual Wentz owner, where is their value on him? Because, you know, the DLF Superflex 2QB ADP that we looked at on the show last week has Carson Wentz as the quarterback 1. And, you know, the only guys ranked above him were Hopkins, Beckham, Antonio Brown, Ezekiel Elliott, and Todd Gurley. So, you know, it takes essentially one of those guys to get to Carson Wentz. And, I mean, I'm willing to pay that price, but because I've got him as not only quarterback 2, but player number 2. But for you know, as far as his actual, you know, among quarterbacks, if he's quarterback 1, just like Watson, quarterback 1 is just a little too high for me. But I love Carson Wentz. I love the situation. He's young. You know, nothing's changing in that offense. They lose their offensive coordinator, Frank Reich. But beyond that, I mean, they've got all the weapons coming back. They've got the same system. And above all else, Doug Peterson is just operating at the next level. And nobody's catching up to him. You know, the whole Philadelphia special, Philly special, whatever it was called. Like, that's something that only Doug Peterson is willing to do. And that tells me all I need to know about Carson Wentz. Just the play calling alone.
Yeah, I like it. Well, clearly it was my pick, so I like it. I like that you're agreeing with me. There you go.
Nice.
So, yeah, so we talked a little long about quarterbacks, but I figured we had you on here, the Mr. Superflex man.
Yeah,
so
and
let it go.
And just to throw this out, John, I just am curious, and I already know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyways on the show.
Yeah.
But so you said Wentz is your number two overall player in Superflex rankings.
Yep.
You want to enlighten the folks on who your number one overall player is?
Number one is Aaron Rodgers. And it's not close.
And I did already know this, so I just wanted to throw it out for our listeners so that they they could hear that and digest that as well. So,
yeah.
But also, more importantly, sorry to cut you off. More importantly, to settle an argument between me and Brian, who is your number one wide receiver?
I've got Beckham number one.
Boo!
Right. Yeah, yeah. Oh, still ahead of Nuke, and I mean, the amount of targets that DeAndre Hopkins gets every time that he finishes, you know, at the top of the wide receiver rankings for the season, that's not sustainable. Those are outlier numbers, you know? So yeah, I've still got Beckham.
That's right. Let that soak in, Brian.
Sorry, Har.
That's all right. No worries.
All right. Let that soak in while John tells us about his sell low running back.
Sell low running back is LeSean McCoy. I mentioned him a few minutes ago, but 31 years old, an absolutely dreadful offense. And I mean, right now you can probably sell him as a running back one on name value alone, but you're not going to get running back one numbers from him ever again. He's that cliff that, you know, Matt Forte hit, Adrian Peterson hit it. Everybody hits it and it kind of comes out of nowhere, but it's right around that age 30, age 31 season. Matt Forte, I believe, made it to age 32 before he fell off the cliff. But I mean, it's coming very soon. And I would just plan on 2018 being the year that LeSean McCoy just completely loses value.
It doesn't help that offense is trash.
Yeah, exactly.
So
do you think you're still getting Do you think you're still getting a first for LeSean McCoy?
I think that you could. You know, it might be a later first, but
yeah, it definitely has to be at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that you could at least shoot for, you know, a back end first.
Would you settle for 202-ish? I mean, do you need to see the one, or would you take a high two and run?
I think that I'd still take a high two. I think that you can probably get, you know, Kerryon Johnson possibly in that area. You can definitely get, you know, we talked about Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson sometimes can make it that far. The wide receivers are there if nothing else. And even Kalen Ballage, you know, I'd rather take a shot with Kalen Ballage at this point than just sit around and wait on LeSean McCoy, you know, for the bottom to drop out.
Truth. All right. If you remember what you were going to say, Brian, go ahead and say it and then jump right into your running back.
Yeah, I was just going to say I agree 100% with this one, John. You know, the only exception, I think, to this would be if you have a team that can win and you really need running back help. I think he can maybe do it again this year. But after this year, I don't expect him to ever be in the discussion again as an RB1. So if you can get out now, I would.
Yeah, are you comfortable with LeSean McCoy as your first running back on your team this year?
I'm not.
And absolutely, if you do have him, absolutely handcuff him with Chris Ivory. I've been getting a lot of crap for this, but Chris Ivory is one of my favorite sleeper running backs this year. That team has to run the ball, and they have nobody else behind LeSean McCoy.
And he's done well with volume in New York. So,
yeah.
I mean, besides the ankles, but that's besides the point. All right, go, Brian.
Yeah.
Jonathan Stewart.
Yeah, so Jonathan Stewart is my sell low. And basically, it's just because I don't think he's going to touch a ball in New York. I mean, I could see him getting a few goal line carries.
I just realized why he's your buy low.
Saquon Barkley, baby.
Everything comes back to Saquon 01.
Hey, it's legit. So little bit of a sidetrack here, because this is worth listening to. I did post this on my Twitter the other day, but for Father's Day, I did not get, so RotoWare's been doing that 101 dad shirt, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like kind of pumped about that. I thought maybe I would get that because I've been talking about it enough around my wife, you know, just so that she would maybe go out and get it. I don't know what I was thinking. I should have known that wasn't happening, but I got a much better gift for Father's Day. My wife actually got me tickets to go watch Saquon's first professional game in New York against the Jaguars. So awesome stuff from my wife.
Good job, wife.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm really excited about that. So anyways, but yeah, Saquon Barkley is basically what I don't think Jonathan Stewart. I mean, unless Barkley gets hurt, I don't see him really having a whole lot of value at all. He may get a few goal line carries. You know, one of the things that Barkley, one of the things that pundits like to say about Barkley is he's not as good at running between the tackles. I saw him run a lot between the tackles and thought he was pretty good, especially with how bad their offensive line was, but at Penn State. But regardless of all of that, I just think, you know, they drafted Barkley second overall to use his butt three downs. So I just don't see Jonathan Stewart having a lot of opportunities to touch football unless, you know, unless Barkley gets injured or the occasional goal line carry. So for me, that's why Jonathan Stewart's my sell low.
You getting a third for him at this point?
I mean,
what do you think you're getting?
I would do jumping jacks if I got a third for Jonathan Stewart right now.
I don't think anybody wants to see you do jumping jacks.
What are you saying, dude? I'm in shape.
I mean, to be fair, I don't actually know what you look like.
I went walking tonight, all right?
Hey,
I walked like a mile, so back off.
Feel like we've been friends for a while now, and I have no idea what you look like. I mean, for all I know, you're just kind of one of those computer generated voices.
Nice. We're talking to AI right now.
You did tell me one time I had a radio/podcasting voice. So
yeah, you do. Technology's come a long ways by 2018.
That's right, man.
And they even managed to program in some fanboyness and you know, take away just total logic when it comes to Saquon Barkley.
That's right. And they even throw the occasional yinzer in there, start talking about going downtown and that. So
that's impressive. Yeah.
See, it's the flaws that make it more believable.
That's right.
And yeah, for the record, I welcome our eventual computer overlords.
Yeah, it'll be everything will be a lot easier. I've seen WALL-E. I know how this goes. I get to just let myself go.
How you go to WALL-E and not something like the Terminator.
Yeah.
That's very positive minded of you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. We all just kind of turn into a blob of goo.
I probably am one already. So you guys don't know what I look like either.
I'm well on my way too. Yeah. I hear you.
All right. Yeah. Back on track. My solo running back is Isaiah Crowell, and I don't think he had that much value to start with. He got a little bit of a bump, I think, when he left the Browns. But right now, you can tell someone he's the starting running back of the Jets. Maybe that can help you get something. I think it should help you get something for a team that's just dead at the running back position. But even if he is the starting running back of the Jets, I don't care. I don't want that. I think it's going to be a bog of a backfield back there with, you know, Thomas Rawls, who I have ill feeling towards because he was not great on the Seahawks, and Elijah McGuire, who I liked coming out of college, so I still hope he becomes something. So I would say sell Crowell, just hoping someone actually believes having a starting running back on a team helps them in some way. And I would, man, if I can get a late second for Crowell, to quote my friend and co-host Brian, I'd be doing jumping jacks.
Yeah, so Crowell for me is interesting because he's a guy I've never been able to get super excited about. And yet, when you look at the end of the season, he's not terrible either. You know, I'm glad he's out of Cleveland, especially with them drafting Chubb and bringing Carlos Hyde in. But I don't, you know, I'm kind of with you here. I think you can sell people right now that he's the starting running back, and he may get you half a season of decent, I guess, production. But I think it's likely that New York looks long term somewhere else for running back help. So I'm with you on this one. What do you think, John?
Yeah, so here's where I take the fun out of fantasy football for people. particularly dynasty. So the problem is the way that you need to construct a roster, especially in super flex, is you build around quarterbacks, you build around receivers, because you know they're going to hit their peak somewhere around year 2, year 3, and they're just going to maintain that for several years. So until you get to that point, the running back position doesn't really matter. So when you're doing a startup draft, you know, you should be looking for a bunch of those quarterbacks and a bunch of those wide receivers who are going to hold their value for you for a long time. And then when it finally comes time to start drafting running backs, you're going to be face to face with guys like Isaiah Crowell. And he's going to have some value for you throughout the season. The problem with running backs are they're so volatile from just from week to week. Forget season to season. But I mean, I always say it takes a village to win a championship. It takes a village of running backs. It takes an army of guys like Isaiah Crowell, because I mean, they're going to get hurt. They're going to get stuck in committees. They're going to get, I don't know, suspended or whatever the hell. All these things are going to happen. They're just going to be ineffective, whatever it is. All that stuff's going to happen to these guys. So I probably wouldn't sell Isaiah Crowell, because I think that he's going to have more value for me than for most people, just because of, you know, my overall philosophy on stupid running backs. Other than Saquon.
I would gladly sell other than Saquon.
Thank you, John. Thank you, John. That is very much appreciated.
Yeah.
If we were in a league together, I would gladly sell you Isaiah Crowell right now.
Nice. Yeah.
All right. And I'm going to quickly jump into my buy high, because I don't need to talk about him, because I think I've talked about him every single episode of the show. Jerick McKinnon. I saw his face and I'm a believer. If you're old, you get the reference.
Smash Mouth.
Duh. Dude, Wally and now Shrek? Like, what is it, man?
My Netflix queue is embarrassing.
It's the same as mine. It's fine. Just mixed in with a lot of, like, Marvel TV shows and... No, yeah, mostly cartoons. Now that I think about it.
Tons
I was, like,
of cartoons.
Trying to think of something else, but it's... Yeah, Kung Fu Panda and Shrek are my two continued watching firsts right now, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But, yeah, no, go by Jerick McKinnon. He's awesome. He's going to be awesome, and I have been a believer of his for way too long for it to be considered sane. I'll give you that early first. Don't care. I believe he has the talent in what we've been gushing about, Kyle Shanahan's offense. I say go do it. You guys can talk about him if you want, or if not, one of you guys can talk about your running backs.
Go ahead, John, if you have any comments on Jet McKinnon.
No, I'm good with Jet. Yeah, I think that he's got plenty of room to rise from here. So, yeah, I'm right on board with you on that one, Outhouse.
Yay!
And I am...
Not. Okay.
Well, I'm not...
Nobody cares.
I'm not 100% on board. I probably would have... I would have a hard time giving up an early first, especially in this year's draft, just because I think, you know, the talent at the top end, especially of the draft, if we're talking super flex with Rosen and Mayfield at the quarterback position and then Barkley and Geis, I wouldn't give up an early first in this draft. I could make an argument for mid first though. So, you know, I'm not that far off. I do like Jet and I do like him in this offense. So it's going to be fun to watch, I think.
Yeah. 105. If you can get him for that, to me, that's easy. Cause like you said, you listed those four guys and that's the four guys where that would make me think. But depending on my team and the mood I'm in that day, I would probably still give up the pick for Jet. All right. So, like I said, we don't really need to talk about that much. Why don't you talk about David Johnson, John?
David Johnson is my running back one. And people forget how insanely good he was in 2016 because they didn't see him at all in 2017. He was out with a wrist injury that has absolutely no bearing whatsoever on his ability to run the football or even catch the football, to be totally honest. There are very few parts of his body that are less important to him as a football player than that stupid wrist. So
offhand also.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So while, you know, Todd Gurley was rushing the ball, 400 sometimes, or touching the ball 400 sometimes, and, you know, putting all those miles on the tires, and same with Le'Veon Bell and same somewhat with Ezekiel Elliott, David Johnson was just sitting back and chilling, not, you know, not taking any damage to his lower body and just you know, just resting, and I'm probably still running sprints, but not getting hit, you know? So he comes in fresh with just the perfect frame to play running back in the NFL. And, you know, again, just what he did in 2016, he just has all the tools. I'm so excited about David Johnson in 2018. And if you can get him for, you know, man, I would go 1.01 easily for David Johnson.
Ooh. All right.
I'd go 1.01 plus.
Brian.
Honestly, I think I would too. I love DJ. He's an awesome talent. I mean, people forget his rookie season too. I mean, the guy rushing and receiving, the guy had over 1,000 total yards and 12 touchdowns, and he added another 2 return touchdowns and had like insane return numbers as far as yardage goes.
You're even talking later in the season than you need to be. The guy had what, like 8 touchdowns on 10 touches.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And then obviously 2016 was literally a historic year. You know, the season that he had, like 1,250 yards rushing or something like that, and another 900 receiving, and I think he scored something like 20 total touchdowns. So, I mean, I agree, John. I mean, the wrist is not an injury. It makes sense that it kept him out for the entire season. It happened week one, and you know, it takes time to recover from that. But it's not like he blew his knee out. It's not like he, you know, has these little nagging injuries that keep popping up. I mean, this guy's a stud and he's in great shape. To me, you know, David Johnson is what I hope Saquon Barkley can turn into. So that 1-1 for David Johnson thing, I mean, everybody that has listened to this show knows how much I love Saquon Barkley. But I would give the 1-1 for David Johnson, even though Barkley is several years younger. I guess that would be the one thing that would make me think about it, if I truly believe that he can develop into that type of player. But DJ is a stud, and I don't know why he doesn't get the respect that guys like Zeke and Le'Veon Bell do. You know, I'm with John on this one. I would pay the price that it takes to get DJ right now. The other thing, you know, that John mentioned, and I think is a great point, is that, you know, he's 26 years old, but this guy doesn't have a lot of wear and tear on his body. I mean, this is a guy that could play potentially into his 30s and maybe not hit that cliff that everybody typically hits at that age, because he doesn't have the wear and tear that some of these other guys do. So for me, I'm with John here. I would pay the price it takes to get DJ. I'm big David Johnson fan, so that's where I stand on this one.
All right. So are we? Yeah, because he's still coming off of drafts as what, running back 4 or 5. So if he's your running back 1, then that's an easy buy.
Yeah.
You said, so we're saying 101, but again, Saquon is his own special case. So let's pretend the 101 doesn't exist. Is 2 firsts getting him, or do you think it needs to be 3?
I think
I'd say somewhere in between. Yeah, like two firsts plus. I don't know that he's worth 3. I think that probably the guys that I would pay 3 firsts for in a super flex league would be Rodgers, Wentz, Beckham, Hopkins, and that's pretty much it. But yeah, I mean, 2 firsts easily, and then it would take something on top of that, like an actual player probably. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree there too. Same. That's exactly what I was thinking. 2 plus. And now for me, I would consider, you know, John hates running backs in general, so I would consider,
amen, brother.
I would consider maybe 3 for Todd Gurley. But I think that probably ends the discussion there, at least for me. So yeah, I'm in a similar place as far as the pick value goes. It would take 2 plus firsts for me to move David Johnson.
Cool. I love it. I saw his name there and I'm like, why didn't I think of that? Because I thought of Jet right away and I couldn't get my mind anywhere else. So Brian, round us out with Kareem Hunt.
Yeah. So Kareem Hunt for me is a buy high. I loved everything this guy did as a rookie. You know, in the Andy Reid offense, obviously new offensive coordinator in Kansas City, so we'll see how all that shakes out. But I think Andy Reid has control of that offense for the most part. So it's a West Coast style. he's going to get his receiving yards and his receptions. The one thing that concerns me about Kareem Hunt, and we talked about it a little bit on the show, Outhouse last week, is this. Kareem Hunt
punched a guy.
Right. So Kareem Hunt punched someone. Well, apparently, I looked a little bit more into this past week, and it is a domestic violence type thing. So that does concern me slightly. We're going to talk a little bit later, I think, about a deal involving Kareem Hunt. So it'll be interesting.
I was going to say, this is some foreshadowing because.
Yeah,
I did that.
Yeah, for sure. So, but I think, you know, this is a time that you can probably buy Kareem Hunt, even if there ends up being disciplined from the league. It's probably a year off, and he's still only going to be 23 years old during the time that he would have to, you know, serve any type of discipline from Roger Goodell, you know, out there. So for me, I mean, you know, I expect similar production from what he did last year. I mean, I think he led the league in rushing, you know, and he caught a ton of balls. So I think he was the RB4 on Addison's site, Fantasy Football Statistics. If you guys haven't checked that out yet, you really need to. Mm-hmm. Addison Hayes has done a fantastic job putting that together. But I believe he was the RB4 last year. And I expect him to be somewhere in that, you know, 4 to 7 range for the next the next several years, as long as he stays healthy. So that's why I'm buying Kareem Hunt high.
All right. And clearly I agree, because we'll talk about it later. I'm ruining the foreshadowing. I bought Kareem Hunt off of Brian. So why are you telling people something that you're not even doing?
Hey. Hey, we'll talk about that later, too.
All right. And, you know, it was funny. Before we started recording, I should say, John asks us, hey, how long do you guys like to record? We try and keep it around an hour. It's been over an hour already. So I think we're going to have to pull a little split in half special like we did last time. All right, so Trade Addicts trades. We're going to go 3-2-1 because we actually have one in each of the three that actually enjoy trading, because Trade Addicts 4 clearly is a misnomer. I tried.
Hey, calm down, man. I'm in Trade Addicts 4. Calm down.
Yeah, get stuff go. Like, I go in there and I say, dude, why aren't you guys trading? And one dude actually said, look, just because the league is named Trade Addicts doesn't mean you need to force us to trade. Really, man? First of all, yes, it does. You signed up for a league named Trade Addicts. You need to trade. That's just the way it is. End of sentence.
But we'll keep working on it, all right?
Yeah, keep working on it.
Right.
All right. So Trade Addicts leagues are 12-team, Superflex, PPR, tight end premium. Trade Addicts 3 trade is weirdly not from me. So there you go. I think this is the first time in like 3 shows we're talking about a trade I didn't do. But this is Matt Breda, Marvin Jones, and Jared Cook for Matt Ryan. Now, Twitter had this at 71% towards Matt Ryan. I lean Matt Ryan, but I left it in here because we have Mr. Superflex guy, and I wanted to have at least one trade that had a quarterback in it. So nice. How do you feel about this one, John?
I think Twitter probably has this one right, although I think it's probably closer than, you know, what they have, almost 3-1. I mean, Marvin Jones is really underrated, really undervalued.
Okay, we're friends for real now.
Yes, we are.
Nice. Yeah, he, you know, that, and I don't know, that pulls it a little bit closer for me, to a point where, you know, I might even say it comes down to roster construction. If Matt Ryan isn't starting for you, I could see making that move. You know, you get Jared Cook, also undervalued, especially in a tight end premium. You get Marvin Jones, which, you know, locks up a starting spot. But at the end of the day, I mean, if quarterbacks are just too valuable in Superflex, and I think I'd probably stick with Matt Ryan, even though I'm not a huge fan of his talent. But I've kind of come down on him a little bit. Earlier in the offseason, I traded Kirk Cousins for Matt Ryan and 1.05. And I have a little bit of buyer's remorse on that. Yeah, it's not horrible, but man, It's kind of a tough sell, right? I'll say this. I would not post that one on Twitter. I'm way too thin-skinned for that.
Well, first of all, every trade should go on Twitter, just because what's what's the point of trading if you're not getting public validation or just mean things said about you?
I like that philosophy. Just the problem is Twitter hates everything that I do. They listen to me, but they don't. Like I said earlier, I kind of take the fun out of fantasy football sometimes. So,
well, Cousins was my sell high. So, and I think you got good value for him. So I approve. Outhouse approves.
Nice, beautiful.
And you said something that made me happy too. I was gonna bring up the question of, is Jared Cook being just completely overlooked? Because
yes,
he's on a decent enough offense, right? And I am an Amari believer, but since it seems like the world isn't, who else is gonna catch the ball? Do we really think Jordy Nelson is what he was?
Right.
So I mean, Jared Cook has to be getting some looks here, and if anything, red zone, right? Because he's the only big dude there, I think. So I agree with you. I lean towards Matt Ryan. I don't think it's 3-1 Matt Ryan, but Matt Ryan. Brian.
Samesies.
Cool. All right, then let's just move on. You know what? We're gonna save ours for last. We're gonna go to trade
Addicts. Yeah.
This one is mine. I didn't have any trades to talk about. So I threw out in all the chat rooms, guys, I need trades to talk about on the pod tonight. Let's do a trade. And that's how this one came about. This one is Kenyon Drake and Christian Kirk for Corey Clement, Alex Collins, and Albert Wilson. Now, this was mine. I won't tell you which side is mine, though Brian knows already. So, John, why don't you tell me how you feel about this one?
I agree with 25% of Twitter on this one. They've got the Christian Kirk side. And I've got, I'll take Corey Clement and Alex Collins and Albert Wilson. I don't mind Christian Kirk. I mean, we kind of talked about this off air. My co-host, Travis Rasmussen, Travis the Beard, he has a way of totally turning me off to certain players. And he is just nonstop talking about Christian Kirk, Eric Ebron, and Todd Gurley, to a point where I can't stand those three players. And so I'm a little bit tainted on this one. I'll admit that. But I don't see it with Christian Kirk the way a lot of people do. And I certainly don't know that Kenyon Drake is gonna see the type of opportunity that everyone thinks that he will. You know, I think that's a full-on committee with Ballage and probably even some Frank Gore mixed in. So, and I think Corey Clement is a rising star. I think Alex Collins, I mean, that's another committee, but I think that he gives you another good starting option. And I actually think Albert Wilson is a nice sleeper. So I think this one's close, but I think that I'm going to lean towards the Clement side.
I thought we were friends.
Oh man.
No, I honestly agree with everything you say. I recently traded for Clement, Collins, and Wilson for all the reasons you exactly just said. I like Clement's upside. He is exciting while Ajayi is boring. Albert Wilson, I mean, somebody has to catch the ball. And Albert Wilson has always been talked about as being athletic and talented, but Alex Smith was always Alex Smith. And Alex Collins is a steady running back too. He was my buy low. I like him. I think he's very dependable, at least for the year coming up. Honestly, I just did this to consolidate a bit. I think Christian Kirk and Kenyon Drake are more solid than each three of them put together. So to me, this sort of just makes my team feel a little better. I think Kenyon Drake will be in a bit of a committee with Ballage. I'm okay with that. I don't want him to be an every down back. I don't think that's who he should be. So I think he needs the spelling every once in a while. So I'm fine with that. And Christian Kirk, I don't think he's going to be a wide receiver one or anything. I don't know if anyone's really thinking, though I think hype has gotten a little out of control. But I think he could easily be a steady wide receiver two for a long time. was one of those trades where he's like, dude, I want to trade. I'm like, I want to trade. And we just gave each other a list of players we liked on each other's team and just sort of put it together like a puzzle. So which is another,
nice.
Just a nice little tip if you guys are like, how do I make a trade work? Just go to a guy and be like, hey, I like these guys on your team. Who do you like on mine? And then you could piece together the value from there. Now, Brian, you told me before we were on air that you liked my side. So tell everybody else that you like my side.
Yeah, I like your side in this one. And apologies, John, but I am I am a huge Christian Kirk guy. You know, I actually wasn't as big of a fan of his. It's not that I disliked him. I don't think I was looking at him the way maybe I should have before we had Brandon from DHH on maybe a month or so ago. And he was talking to us about Christian Kirk and made some really good points. And it made me kind of go back and look a little closer at Kirk. And when I did, I really, really liked what I saw. Outhouse, I heard you say you don't believe he can ever be a wide receiver one. I do. I believe he can. You know, Larry Fitzgerald is a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best that's ever played the game. Mm-hmm. But he's about done. And I think Kirk can step into that role. And I'm not saying he can be Larry Fitzgerald, but, you know, with Josh Rosen at the helm of that offense for the next, I don't know how many years, hopefully for a long time, you know, I can see Kirk being his number one look when he's dropping back. So for me, I really like Kirk. I like Kirk more than any of the pieces in this deal. And honestly combined, not value wise per se, obviously, but you know, he is my favorite part of this deal by a long shot. So I would lean to that side in general. I do like Corey Clement. He's one that intrigues me just because I'm not a big Ajayi guy. I do think Ajayi is going to be the workhorse in that offense this year, but who knows when the knees are going to go to. That concerns me, the bone-on-bone stuff, which is why I'm not a big fan of Sony Michel either. So, but yeah, I Kirk, for me, I think he can step in. He can be a wide receiver. He'll be the wide receiver two in Arizona, I believe, you know, to start the season. And I think he's going to make a fantasy and an impact on the Cardinals offense as well. And then that's just my take on it. But I like your side on this one.
Yay. All right. So now you had your few bouts with John. It's time for me and you to throw down. All right. So I'm going to read it off. And John, I just want you to go right afterwards.
Sure.
I don't know if you saw the Twitter poll, if you know which side is which, but here we go. Trade Addicts 2. Devontae Freeman, Stephon Diggs, and a 2023rd for Kareem Hunt, Golden Tate, and a 2019 second.
Holy hell, is this balanced, by the way.
Yes! <Man. laughs> That's good.
That is a good trade, boys.
Wow, this is more like the end of like a Rocky movie where either we do that man high five where we clinch fists, or the end of whichever Rocky was where they do the freeze frame right before him and Apollo punch each other.
Yeah, that's kind of it. It's almost like, man, who cares who won this thing? Like, let's just sit back and appreciate what a masterpiece this trade was.
That's awesome.
No. I want to know who won.
That's fine, because you always want to know who won. But that is about as good a compliment as you can get right there.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Thank you. But who won?
Oh, man. This is seriously tough. I think I've got to go with the Kareem Hunt side. It's tough because I love Stephon Diggs.
Me too.
And I've kind of been off brand here. You know, I've been saying, you know, Marvin Jones over Matt Ryan. And I've been saying, you know, two running backs over a wide receiver. And now here I am saying, you know, that Stephon Diggs is the best wide receiver in this trade. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I don't think that Golden Tate is too far off, and Kareem Hunt is, you know, quite a bit higher than Devonta Freeman for me at this point.
I think Devonta Freeman is on his way to running into a wall. And a part of it, you know, we talked about it with Adams, but it's the concussions. You know, we don't like the injury prone label at the Superflex Super Show, mm-hmm. but when it's concussions piling up on a guy, you know, you start to worry about that, and you start to think, you know, how many more games am I going to get out of him before, you know, they have to just shut him down for a quality of life type of thing. So I think Devonta Freeman is kind of the countdown is on. So yeah, I'll take Kareem Hunt. And I think that Golden Tate is a downgrade from Diggs, but not enough of one to make up the difference, you know, or to Diggs doesn't make up the difference between Freeman and Hunt. Who did I just piss off?
Brian.
No, you didn't. Hey, I'm not pissed off because I feel like, I mean, look, we talk all the time on this. I mean, our thing on this show is trades, right? Mm-hmm. We're the trade addicts. So we talk trades every episode. And we're very consistent in saying that, look, you have to give up good pieces to get good pieces.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to acquire players that you want to acquire that are valued highly if you don't give up players that are valued highly that you like. You know, I said earlier in so I was John, just so we haven't told you which side. Yeah, I'm the Diggs and Freeman side on the receiving end on this one. And, you know, for me, I mean, I talked earlier in this episode or last episode, depending on how this shakes out, about Kareem Hunt being my buy high. I mean, I love this guy. He's one of my favorite, you know, running backs in the league. I think he's primed to be a star for a long time. So it was very difficult for me to part with him. In all fairness, too, Outhouse and I, one of the cool things about the two, this is the first deal I believe that we've been able to work out in Trade Addicts too. That's the only league that we're in together right now. And it's the first deal that I believe we've been able to work out, other than I think we made a deal in the startup draft, maybe
the very
for picks.
Beginning, I gave you Melvin Gordon.
Oh yeah.
Who
for the
you
first
tried
time.
To give me in the original offer of this deal. I want everyone to know, because we talked about this last week where Gordon has been on and off your team about three times and you tried to ship him out again.
It has. It's been, I believe I've owned him on three separate occasions. And I did. I tried to ship him out in this deal as well.
you have Stockholm syndrome with him.
I apparently. I don't know what it is, but I have a hard time. One day I feel one way about him and the next day I feel another way about him. So, but yeah, for this deal, you know, I was trying to, I really like Diggs. And what's weird about Diggs is that, you know, all the reasons I gave you, John, when I was, this makes no sense at all that I like Diggs, because everything that I said about Adams is true about Diggs. I mean, other than the concussions, he's had some injuries that he's dealt with, but they haven't been head injuries. But
way more competition for touches for targets.
Absolutely. I mean, Thielen, you can make an argument Thielen is the wide receiver one in that offense.
No, you can't. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you really can. So, you know, so it's a little strange why I like Diggs so much, but I do. I'm a big Diggs fan. I think he's primed to take the next step. His ADP is pretty up there, but I think he has the potential to go even higher as far as where he's being valued currently. So, I was trying to get Diggs, and I knew I was going to have to give up. I knew Outhouse needed a running back, and Russ, I will say, in this league, you are stacked. Trade Addicts to your team is absolutely stacked. So, you know, we talked some. This deal kind of was strange because we started out talking about
real big boys.
Yeah, Beckham, Evans. You know, and then some of the running backs started getting thrown in, and, you know, we were talking Diggs, and then we kind of took a step back and said, okay, what really works here? What makes sense? What do we each need? And this was another one of those deals where just talking about, you know, we didn't essentially create a list, but I think we know each other well enough to know who each other likes. So it was like, okay, listen, I know you like this guy. I know you like Hunt. So if I give you Hunt, are you willing to put Diggs in a deal? Yes. Okay. So where's the value discrepancy now? Okay. Hunt, we value a little bit higher than Diggs. So how do we make this work, right? So then we start talking other pieces, and we started talking Freeman, and then we started talking, you know, other wide receivers, and Tate came in, and then we were talking picks to make things even, and, you know, even more equal or whatever. I think we both came out of this deal feeling pretty good about it. I still feel pretty good about it, and not that I like giving up Kareem Hunt in any deal, because this guy's, again, I think he's my buy high at running back. I think he's going to be a stud, but you got to give players to get players, and this was another one of those situations where, you know, I had to give up a guy that I really like to get another guy and other assets that I really like. So these are the best types of deals, when both guys walk away thinking, hey, I'm okay with this one. This was a good deal overall. And I think it made sense for both of our teams too. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that I can run with you as my team sits right now. So I'm going to have to see if I can, you know, rearrange some assets and maybe acquire some other ones. But this was a good deal, and it was a lot of fun going back and forth talking about it. We worked on it for a couple hours, I think, this morning. Yeah. Overall, it was a couple of days, and then even this morning was a couple of hours. Yeah. So it was a lot of fun, and it's a good deal, I think, and I'm happy with it. I know you're happy with it. So those are the best ones.
Yep. Like I said, it's a very balanced trade, and I mean, and it can even come down to roster construction when it's this close. You know, I'm evaluating it in a vacuum, but, you know, maybe you had enough depth at running back that giving up Hunt doesn't affect you nearly as much as it helps you to get Stephon Diggs. So, you know, roster construction makes a huge difference in something like this as well. So, yeah, it's balanced enough that it's very possible that both sides got exactly what it needed.
Yeah, it was funny, because anytime we're like, all right, how about this? Right away we'd be like, oh, yep. All right, I got to think about that.
Yep.
And they'd be like,
that's how you know it's a good one.
Yeah, when you have to groan about it. And honestly, like, it was really like three or four back and forth where we had each other going, all right, no, you got to give me some time. Yeah, this was a very good one. It was very fun, and I think it worked out perfectly.
Yeah, for sure.
But before we wrap up, I actually just got a trade offer that, since John had his fun reading his out loud, I want to read mine. So in a Trade Addicts League, which means Superflex, someone offered me Deshaun Watson for Marcus Mariota, Derrick Henry, Stephon Diggs, and Ian Thomas.
Nah, that's too much.
Way too much, right?
That's way too much. Yeah.
Yeah, that's too much.
Yeah. No, I would probably do it.
I would probably do that deal without Diggs.
I was about to say, if you take Diggs out, I'd think about it.
Yep.
And it's funny, because this dude has been every couple of days, so Stephon Diggs, and I'm like, you know how I feel about Diggs. If you're gonna come at me, you gotta come at me. And then that's what he sends after like a week of randomly being, so what about Diggs? Disappointing. I'm not going to name your name, but you know who you are.
Shame.
Shame.
For shame. How dare you?
All right. Well, I am exhausted. So
yeah, man. That was fun, though.
Yeah, thanks for hanging around the entire time.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, awesome. And if you ever feel like jumping ship from your show, you're welcome here.
Yeah, John, thank you for joining us. This was a lot of fun. We feel very honored to have you on. And if you haven't listened to these guys, again, Superflex Super Show, make sure you go check them out. Three of the best guys in the business, as far as knowledge, as far as being just awesome guys. You know, make sure you listen to them, and of course listen to us as well. Check them out for sure. And it's been an honor and a lot of fun having you on. We'd love to have you on again in the future too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a mutual admiration society here, guys, because like I said, this is one of my go-to podcasts. And beyond that, I mean, you know, Har, you are already one of the you are an honorary member of the Superflex Super Show. And Outhouse, we'd be honored to have you just kind of as one of our one of our MVPs as well. So
I'll be there with something embarrassing on to cheer everybody else on until I get my turn.
Right. Awesome. Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, and real quick, to listen to their show, what I actually realized today is, now that you're part of DLF, DLF has a stream, or just like, what's the word? A network that you can subscribe to where you get every single DLF podcast. And I found out that I realized I was subscribing to like four of them. So I just found that one button where I could click and you get all of them. So if you find yourself listening to DLF shows, click that button, subscribe, you get all of them, will pop up in your feed, and that makes listening to the Superflex Super Show that much easier.
Yeah, totally. That thing is awesome, that mega feed or whatever it is. It's almost just like it's a radio station, and you can listen to all the DLF podcasts just one after another.
Yeah,
and all on the same feed.
And they're all very good.
Yes, very good,
for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so for the third time, I'll say before we wrap up, why don't you tell everyone where they can find you again?
So the show itself is at Superflex Show on Twitter, and I'm at Superflex Dude. And again, the Superflex Super Show, and then I'll also be doing some writing for DLF. We're still kind of getting settled as a member of DLF, so we haven't gotten any articles out there yet, but they're coming, and we're going to focus hard on Superflex. And definitely tune in to the next episode. We're going to be speaking of Superflex articles, JJ Zacharyson just dropped a new one, and talking about drafting quarterbacks in a Superflex league. So we're going to have him on next week.
Cool.
Get to talk with him about it. So really looking forward to that one. So definitely tune in.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. I mean, I was going to listen to it anyway, but I'll totally listen to it now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's been awesome. It's been fun. It's been exhausting. Have a great night, everybody. See you later, Brian.
See you, Russ.
Bye, John.
See you, John.
See you, dudes.
Yay.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addicts Podcast. Please follow us on Twitter at Trade Addicts Pod and follow our hosts at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Haar FF. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review. Have a nice day, and we will see you next time on the Trade Addicts Podcast.